We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're recording, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
It's quite overwhelming. If you're at the start of your journey, you wonder if it's possible, but I'm here to assure you it can be done. And there's hope and joy and peace, inner peace on the other side. And I have personally found it to be maybe one of the greatest life-changing things I've ever done.
This is Life Chats. Today we have a solo chat with me, your host, Georgia May.
All right, so one of the most requested topics that I speak about often on my Instagram and something I'm excited to kind of go a little bit more deeply into today is my journey with sobriety. Now, I think people are really curious about those who attempt sobriety, often because it can be linked to potentially challenging experiences or addictive behaviors and personalities, or even for some, being an alcoholic or being a regular drug user. For me, I was very lucky that that is not my story and that is not where I was, but I could see it going that way. So I'm excited to talk a little bit more about that today because I don't think many people know my story with alcohol, and I'm not afraid to kind of talk about it because I think when I was starting my sober journey, I was looking to other people who were further along than I was and using that as proof that it could be done and that, you know, it was going to be worth it, because it's a pretty intense thing to stop drinking in your mid-20s or your early 20s. I was 24 at the time. It's a huge, huge thing in Australia to drink socially, and our social lives revolve around alcohol, whether it be Friday drinks in the office or brunch, having mimosas at brunch on a weekend, celebrating birthdays, celebrating baby showers, hens parties. I've done all these things without alcohol over the last 2 years, and I'm keen to talk more about it and share what's worked for me, because it can be done. And it's quite overwhelming. If you're at the start of your journey, you wonder if it's possible, but I'm here to assure you it can be done. And there's hope and joy and peace, inner peace on the other side. And I have personally found it to be maybe one of the greatest life-changing things I've ever done. So let's give a little backstory into why I decided to go sober. I was always that friend at parties or growing up that just always took it too far. Like, I'm sure everyone says that they were the same, and you kind of laugh about it with your friends. And it's just the culture, particularly in Australia, to binge drink and to kind of have these crazy stories on a Monday or on a Sunday and kind of have that regret and lay in bed all day and order the crappy food and feel sorry for yourself. That's a normal experience for almost every teen or person in their 20s and maybe even early 30s. But it was always a bit too far with me. Like, I would always have the crazy stories. I think out of my friend group, it would be like, what did Georgia get up to? Is Georgia alive? And I laugh now, but it's just so uncomfortable to think about some of the things that I did and the person that I was when I was drinking, because it was a complete and utter opposite personality to who I am. And my friends and I used to joke that if anyone's seen the movie Split Personalities, there's a funny quote or one-liner that wasn't me, it was Patricia. Like, my alter ego became Patricia, because everything Patricia would do would be total sabotage of my life and of my relationship. So we used to wake up the next day and joke and say, that wasn't me, that was Patricia, as a funny way to kind of gloss over probably the drama that had ensued the night before. And I think even now my friends will probably be listening to this thinking, it wasn't that bad. Like, honestly, it was just normal. But to be the person who experiences the chaos every week, basically it felt like I was having to repair my life, that gets old pretty quick. Like, your mental health really starts to take a toll. And I think it can be really fun for a few years when you discover alcohol and partying to kind of go down that path. But it's interesting, even now, a couple of my friends have really scaled back on their drinking and are only drinking at big events or, you know, like once a month or twice a month, because you just get over the feeling of waking up hungover. And for me, it was like this self-hatred and this self-disgust and just I hated who I had been the night before and a lot of anxiety. So yeah, I guess I had always been that crazy person at parties who would take things a bit too far. And I mean like really too far. I don't even know if I can share some of the things on this podcast that happened. I'm trying to think of some things that, yeah. Okay. I'll share a couple of stories that are like ridiculous, but not legitimately incriminating. One night I was sent home from the club, like by my friend. She put me in an Uber because she was like, you are out of control. You're going home. I tried to jump out of the Uber multiple times because I wanted to go back to the club. I made it home. I ran up the street. My mum had to like chase me to bring me back home because I was trying to run back to the club, which was like a 20-minute walk away from my house. I actually can't remember if this was the same night or not. I think it was a separate night. Another time I came home, I was locked out of my house and I was living with my parents. No one was picking up the phone to let me in. It was the middle of winter. It was freezing. I was like, I'm not sleeping outside when my bedroom is just there. But my bedroom was at the front of the house, two stories up, so I couldn't get in. But my brother's bedroom was around the back of the house on top of, we had like a deck and his bedroom window was above the deck roof. So in my incredible moment of genius, I thought, if I get the ladder that's underneath the house, I can put it up against the house. I can climb up the ladder in my heels. I can walk along the deck roof, which was two stories up from the back, and I can go through my brother's window. And that's literally what I did, which is horrifying to me because I didn't remember that I did that. The next day I woke up, my whole family wouldn't speak to me. My mom was in tears. Like, you could have fallen off the roof and broken your back and been laying there for hours and we wouldn't have known. I like basically spear dove through the fly screen onto my brother's bed, woke him up in the middle of the night. He thought he was getting like attacked by a burglar. My entire contents of my handbag were all over the driveway. And I remember waking up and just looking around my brother's room and thinking, oh my God, why am I in my brother's bed? And I texted him saying, do mom and dad know like what I did? And he was like, your shit's all over the driveway. Like, yeah, they know. And the ladder had fallen down in the night and was just like on the back grass. So I was just like really reckless and made some silly decisions, which we all do when we're drinking, but I genuinely wonder how I didn't seriously injure myself or other people. And I did. There were so many times I woke up really injured and I couldn't remember how it had happened. And I think that's just for me where the line is drawn. Like, it's all fun and games when you're like dancing like an idiot and embarrassing yourself, or maybe you spew like on the side of the road. Like, that's even that's like a bit, you know, but to be genuinely doing things like I would rock up at guys' houses I hadn't seen in months and just like basically break into their house and be like, I'm here, or like, you know, just these incredibly embarrassing things that I would do. I also am ashamed to admit, but I drank drove many times. Oh, it like makes me feel sick. Not just around the corner, like home from the club. I actually drove to Sydney and back from the Central Coast, which is nearly 2 hours, multiple times. Really drunk. The fact that I didn't kill myself or anyone else on a highway in the middle of the night is just like, I actually thank God every day. I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you for that second chance. And I feel like the cat with nine lives. I had my nine lives. I had my nine chances. If I kept doing that shit, something seriously bad would have happened. And I'm extremely grateful that it didn't. So yeah, it was just getting to the point where it was too much and too far. And I had extreme anxiety every time I'd wake up after an event like that. Like waking up knowing you had driven 2 hours the night before drunk and having to replay in your head, like, did I definitely not hit someone? Did I definitely not hit anything? I used to walk out and check the car and make sure there were no scratches on the car and lie to my mum and dad about why I had gone through tolls in Sydney in the middle of the night. Like, it was just so bad. This was about 5 years ago, I think, when things started to get quite out of control. And I didn't think I was going to say this, but I was also sleeping with people really drunk, like off my head, and then waking up the next day and hating myself for doing that and people that were just not good for me at all. And obviously, there's a whole conversation there to be had around consent, and that's something that I'm still to this day working through and working with a therapist in healing, because unfortunately, I got myself into some really horrific situations being extremely drunk and around people that didn't care about my safety and weren't good for me. And it just becomes a toxic cycle. Like the pain of having to wake up and deal with what I had done on nights out, the only thing that would relieve that pain for me was knowing I could do it again in a week's time, which is just crazy to think about. Like to know that, you know, I only have to get through 5 days of work, then it's Friday, then I can get drunk again, then I can do it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That was kind of like the only relief for me. And that's not something I ever shared with friends or family, that that's how I was feeling. And that's what I was looking forward to, basically writing myself off in a week's time. And that was the whole purpose of drinking for me. It was never to enjoy the taste of alcohol. It was never to have a social wine with friends. It was never to celebrate. It was to write myself off. That was the goal. And that was the only reason I drank. And people who have known me for years know that this is what I went through. But people who have only met me in the last year or so will probably be honestly shook that this is what I was like, because I'm this health and wellness goddess, like manifesting spirituality, yoga, like vegan eating, like that's my whole life now. And I believe I'm that way because of what I've been through. And I saw what my life could look like. And I didn't want that. I didn't want it to go down that path. I wanted to choose behaviors that made me feel good and a life that made me feel good. But I had to basically get to breaking point like 10 times before I was willing to commit to sobriety. And I tried, I'm going to have to split this episode, I'm just realizing, into a few different installments, because it's just such a journey. Like I'm still on it, but there was basically a few moments that were just way too far for me that I really didn't think I could recover from mentally, that started to plant the seed of like, I don't want to keep doing this and I don't want to keep drinking. And one of them was my 22nd birthday. So nearly 5 years ago. And I'd been on a night out. It was all fun and games. We were having fun. I was completely blind, but like nothing too crazy. My friend put me in a taxi again. I think I got dropped at the wrong address. I don't know. I can't remember. But basically I woke up in what I thought was an unknown location. I woke up on the porch at like 6 a.m. and I had blood over my knuckles. All my knuckles were all raw and my dress strap was ripped down. I hope and I pray it was because I had like fallen over, not because anything else had happened, but I wouldn't know. And I had been banging on a door like all night saying, let me in, let me in. I'm home. I thought I was home, but where I actually was down the street at a random house, at a neighbor's house. And I had thought that that was my house. And I called my mom in tears, saying, I don't know where I am. And she said, just walk out onto the street and tell me what street you're on and I'll come and pick you up. I'll find you. And like, it's funny because it's so bad. But as I walked out of the driveway of where I had been, like honestly covered in vomit, it was disgusting. I see my mom down the street walking out of our driveway with her dressing gown on. And then obviously we both realized I had just been a few doors down. So that was pretty much the last time I'd been written off. And that, I honestly didn't think I was going to recover from that emotionally. Like I just remember standing in the shower in my birthday dress, which was like an $800 Camilla, fully clothed, just standing in the shower for half an hour, bawling my eyes out and then sleeping all day. And I think my parents knew how bad it was because I had had a party at the house. And usually they were really funny about, you know, keeping the house clean and you better get up and clean everything. I woke up in the afternoon and the house was spotless. They had cleaned the entire house. They didn't say anything. And I walked my dress down to the laundry to try and save it. And I was just standing in the laundry, washing my dress, crying. And my dad came in and he said, do you want to talk about what happened last night? Like, why did that happen? And I just remember being hysterical and crying and saying, I don't know how that happens every time with me. Like every time I drink, that's the outcome. That was obviously the worst. And I think purely because it was just too painful to deal with the fallout from that. It took me weeks to kind of come to terms with it and to apologize to everyone that I had called and texted and panicked the night before. So that was one of the last times. And then from there, I just started to kind of really scale back my drinking. I still would blow out every few months. I'd have a bit of a binge and kind of take it too far, but it was definitely not every week. And I just became more used to the feeling of completely abstaining from alcohol because it was far too painful to know what the outcome could be if I decided to have a big night out. So I think we'll leave it there for this episode. I'm going to leave you on a bit of a cliff hanger. But in the next episode about sobriety, we'll talk about my journey to actually quitting alcohol and not just scaling back on alcohol. I put some stories on my Instagram and a lot of people submitted questions, and we had so many questions about how to navigate social situations and what I said in the first few months, and also just how to decide that you're going to do something like that and what it looks like and what do you drink when you go out and all those sorts of juicy questions. So I'm happy to answer all of those and what I did to navigate the first 3 months and 6 months and 12 months of my sober journey. And then I'll do some reflecting about how I feel now and where I'm at with it all. And if I'll ever drink again, that's another question that I get asked all the time. But I'll have a think about some more crazy stories and if I'm willing to share any of them. I think today was a bit more vulnerable than I thought I would get, but this is where we're at. I'm comfortable in saying this now, like this is my journey. This is what I've been through. I put in a lot of work to heal myself. And in the next episode, we'll get into a little bit more what that healing journey has looked like and potentially why I think I became so reliant on alcohol. I don't want to use the word addicted because that looks different on everyone, but I am an addictive person. And I think it very easily was in that territory if I wanted it to go that way. So tune in for the next installment. If you have any questions about sobriety in the meantime, send them in. Happy to answer them. Or if you want to just have a chat with me in the DMs, more than happy to kind of share some my experiences. Thanks so much for tuning into this solo chat on Life Chats.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please let me know who you'd love me to chat to next. Or if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, you can connect with me directly on Instagram at Life Chats Podcast, one word. Until next time, I'm Georgia May, and this is Life Chats.